Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hello, beautiful humans. This is the Cinemistress, and I went to the movies. It's Halloween season, so naturally, I went and saw The French Dispatch. Yes, for some reason, a Wes Anderson film was released on Halloween weekend. Not sure who decided that was a good idea, but it's here and I went and saw it. I am an unashamed Wes Anderson junkie. I love his quirky characters and dialogue. I love the faux vintage look of all of his films. I love the cinematography and the costumes. Wes Anderson films just make me happy. And as I've been having a somewhat rough October, I decided I needed a happy movie. So did the Wes Anderson magic work again? Did I leave the theater happy? Let's find out. I will not be doing spoilers for this film because, owing to the nature of this film, there's really nothing to spoil. So I'm just going to discuss it. But first, your plot. If you can call this a plot. Arthur Howitzer has died. Howitzer was the editor of the French Dispatch, a newspaper based in Liberty, Kansas, that tells stories from the city of Ennui, France. Howitzer's will states that upon his death, the French Dispatch will publish one last issue. This issue will reprint three stories from past publications and his obituary. After that, the French Dispatch will cease publication. This final issue opens with the cycling reporter giving you a history of Ennui. The first actual story tells of a brilliant artist who is currently serving time in prison for murder and the art dealer who wants to buy his masterpieces. The second story tells of the chessboard revolution, a student protest in Ennui. The third story tells of a reporter's quest to have a dinner prepared by the legendary police officer slash chef, Lieutenant Nescafe, who works for the Ennui police force, only to have that dinner interrupted by the kidnapping of the police chief's son. And that is basically your movie. Other than showing how beloved Arthur Howitzer is, there's no real plot line to this film. It's basically a series of short stories. So let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly of this film. First, the good. So let's just start by saying this is a Wes Anderson film, so it looks gorgeous. The set design is amazing, the costumes are amazing, the color palette he has chosen, when there is color, because there are sections in black and white, is a feast for the eyes. With one small exception, and I'll get into that in a moment, this is a visually stunning film. This film has a huge cast of characters, and about 70% of them worked for me, which is not bad considering the size of the cast. Bill Murray plays Arthur Howitzer, who is the only character that kind of weaves his way through all of the stories, and he's Bill Murray, so he's fine. I really enjoyed Owen Wilson as the cycling reporter who introduces the town of Ennui to you. I laughed quite a bit during his bit, so that worked exceedingly well for me. The first story also worked really well for me, mostly because I loved Benicio del Toro as the murderous artist, and Adrian Brody as the art dealer who wants to buy his work only to find out that it's a lot more difficult to transport than he thought. My favorite story was the third story with Jeffrey Wright as the food and wine journalist who is just looking for a good meal from this top-notch chef only to have it devolve into a kidnapping plot. So his story turns into something much bigger than a meal. There's an animated sequence in the middle of the story that's really fun to watch. That last story is pretty much top-notch Wes Anderson. Wes Anderson has called this movie his love letter to journalists, and I can see that. He based several of these characters on actual journalists. The French Dispatch is a fictional newspaper, but he really puts in extra effort to make you think it's real. There's a wonderful sequence over the end credits where they show you mock-ups of all of the different covers of the Dispatch, and it's beautiful artwork. For the most part, I enjoyed this film and I liked it quite a bit. You will notice, however, I am not mentioning the second story, and that leads me to the bad. The second story that involves the student protest stars Timothy Chalamet and Frances McDormand. This story just dragged, and none of it really worked for me. I didn't find it at all interesting, and I couldn't wait for that section to be over. The only thing I found funny is that Timothy Chalamet, who plays this student protest leader, keeps commenting that he's self-conscious about his new muscles. And I kept flashing back to Dune, where Duncan Idaho asks Paul, who is played by Timothy Chalamet, if he's got new muscles. And I kept thinking, is this an inside Dune joke? I don't think it is, but it did make me giggle a little bit, and it's the only thing about this story I found interesting, and I don't think it was intentional. I will also say that this movie has an overabundance of cameos, and a lot of them really don't have much to do. Elizabeth Moss is here for a couple scenes, Christoph Waltz shows up for a couple scenes, Willem Dafoe is here for a couple of scenes. None of these people are integral to the plot. They just pop up and you're like, oh, that's Elizabeth Moss. And then she's gone and she has nothing to do with the movie. I get wanting to be in a Wes Anderson film, but did you need that many cameos? Okay, so I mentioned one visual aspect of this movie that did not work for me, and that leads me to the ugly. First, I have to say that part of this is the fault of the theater where I saw this film. This film switches aspect ratio quite a bit, particularly in the middle story, the one with the student protest. It'll go from regular aspect ratio to 4:3 aspect ratio, and it'll go to black and white. There's no real reason for this, it's just a visual quirk. That being said, the theater didn't quite know how to center this film on the screen. And since this film deals with a French city, there's a lot of subtitles, and as a result, several times the subtitles were cut off in the middle, and I had a very difficult time reading them. Now, that's the theater's fault. However, when I could see the subtitles and the title cards, I still had trouble reading them because Wes Anderson chose such a small font. I could say I'm old and my eyes are bad, but my eyes have been bad since I was 6, so I've had old eyes for my entire life. I just want to say, filmmakers, if you have to put subtitles in your movie, make them very readable. I get what he was going for here. It kind of looks like newspaper print, but it was so small. And sometimes, rather than go down with his subtitles, he went up with his subtitles. It just makes it very difficult to read. And it bothered me because it's completely unnecessary. Final thoughts. If you like Wes Anderson, you'll probably like this film. If you don't like Wes Anderson films, you're not going to like this, because there are times in this film where it was almost too Wes Anderson. I love Wes Anderson, and I really wanted to love this film, but I like it. I didn't love it. That middle section really brought it down for me. There's two high points, but there's this valley in between that just bored me. I still recommend it if you like Wes Anderson films, because visually it's stunning, but I didn't love it as much as I wanted to. I'm giving this 3.5 brains out of 5. I'm taking that 1.5 brains off for that middle section. As I said, no spoilers for this one. There's really nothing to talk about spoilery, so I'm just going to leave it at that. This is the Cinemistress signing off, and remember, just make it sound like you wrote it that way on purpose.
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.